in federal court in May 1999. After being denied the right to cite medical use in California law, he was convicted and spent 2 years in prison. His campaign statement is excerpted below. So what will I do if elected governor? I intend to use the pardon powers of the California Constitution and shall issue a pardon to all persons convicted of a victimless crime, such as growing, selling, or using marijuana or similar substances, including those persons now serving prison terms for such convictions. Furthermore, I do not intend to see such victimless crimes prosecuted while I am governor. While I see that real crimes are prosecuted vigorously, I will not spend the resources of Californians chasing phantom crimes, that is, innocent acts legislators make into crimes merely to show that they are, quote, tough on crime, so they can get votes to keep themselves in office. I will free up millions of tax dollars from these phantom crimes to be spent on chasing real criminals, as well as providing better education for our children. I will also seek voluntary rollback of the outrageous energy contracts that my predecessors have saddled us with. And he goes on and talks about that. And it's actually a lengthy statement. It was more relevant, of course, before the election, and I wanted to read that part of it that had to do with medical marijuana. Earlier in the show, I played the beginning of, most of the James Ney interview. That's the fellow who was dragged through the courts for years because David Lefebvre gave him a bogus ticket for driving with a suspended license when he turned left around the homeless service center some time back. And he was also talking about his marijuana ticket and about an officer in Felton. And for those of you who have had the patience to sit through the show this far, I'm going to continue that interview, and we're going to play that now.
Lifted middle finger, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and this was when?
2 years ago.
And so you weren't charged anything at this point?
No.
Did you file a complaint with the sheriff's department?
Yes, I did.
What was the consequence of that?
Nothing.
And just to summarize what happened at this point, apparently this officer in Felton broke into his restaurant. James Ney was running a thing called the Pizza Factory up there for a while. And he demanded that, why was James open that time of night and so forth. James revealed that apparently when other officers came, he had a videotape of what had been said. So when the officer tried to state that something had been said that he hadn't said, the officer was confronted with his own misstatements, and he left angrily, stood across the street with other officers, and apparently gave James, you just heard that, the finger, and he was involved in James's most recent arrest on marijuana. Why do I go into all these sort of what may seem like trivial details? We're talking about a case of alleged police harassment, and it's important to document in specifically what happened, at least to give the account clearly, and that's what I'm...
No, oh, wait a minute. Actually, I had a little meeting with Sergeant, I can't remember his name now, who said, you know, he was going to straighten this all out. He'd take care of coin and all this, and, you know.
And apparently not.
Nothing came of it. Yeah, Finley. Well, coin voids me like a, because I've had 2 cents then. Okay, gone.
Two
complaints on coin. Actual complaints, and so while I was in the office, they actually told Coyne, don't you come within 50 feet of this man. So I could be in a crowd of kids doing all kinds of stuff, and Coyne will drive by and just keep right on driving by. Okay? So, well, we did get Coyne off my back. But that's because of my allegations of his child abuse. He's a pedophile.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Point blank, he's been doing little boys up there for ages, and they're protecting him in the sheriff's department.
Strong words. Deputy Coyne, if you wish to respond to them, of course, you can come on the air and give your side of it. We won't go.
No. I can give you better than that, okay? Deputy Coyne came up a month and a half ago. My house was burglarized, okay? Deputy Coyne, of course, who responds? I get home, I see my stuff strewn on the front yard, my front door's kicked in, you know. I call the police, sheriff's. Proper thing to do, correct? That's what I'm told. Who responds? Officer Coyne.
Deputy Coyne.
Deputy Coyne. And a CHP officer. They're very upset. Oh, we're going to do something. This guy's going to be arrested. They go up in the house of my next door neighbor, the one who committed the burglarizing, him and his wife.
How do you know that?
Other people. I'm not stupid. I knew who did it right when I get there, and they were all talking crap. They're going to beat me and all this, you know.
They stated they had done it?
Yeah. Okay, to Officer Coyne. Well, actually, the gentleman who did it, Mark Koch, who did it, was not there. He left. Okay, but his roommates were there, and they said, oh, yeah, Mark did it. Officer Coyne entered his house and removed my belongings, my TV and cable box and my VCR and things out of Mark's house. Okay, proof positive that he burglarized my house.
Now, would he have called it a burglary, or would he have said he was recovering property of his own?
Nope. It was a burglary. It was my property. I had the receipts, serial numbers, everything right there for Officer Coyne. Officer Coyne stated to me exactly, I'm on my way to go arrest this man for burglary. He says, if anything happens tomorrow morning here, call this number. We'll be right out to respond to this. Okay, because I said, you know, when he comes home, he's going to try to box me. Okay, he's a big guy, big, huge guy. Okay, he said, no problem, just call this number. Okay, so the next morning, he does come home. He starts pounding on my house, my door, screaming, yelling, he's going to kill me and all this. I call up, the sheriffs come, and they know nothing whatsoever about it. They can't even find a report. In fact, they end up finding, they finally admitted to me that I did make a call the night before because it's in the dispatcher's log. Somehow, after leaving to go arrest this burglary suspect, he met with him and then suddenly decided he was not going to do anything, not even file a report.
Maybe it was important to, should we say, give the finger to someone else across the street, more of a priority.
Okay. They've been to this man's house 20 times in the last 3 months for violence. Yet he's never been arrested, never been counseled, never been nothing done to him by the sheriff's department. I assume he's an informant, okay, you know, because this is what he can get away with. He's the one that's been robbing all the news racks, and they know it. They're not doing a thing about it.
Well, perhaps they feel it's a sort of an important tax on news racks. Maybe there's just too many news racks up there.
I don't know. I know he's moved to Aromas now, so...
he's no longer your neighbor.
No, he's no longer my neighbor.
Well, did you give him a farewell party?
No.
So here you are. You're in court for possession of marijuana. Let's get back to that. So this was on an afternoon. What, a month, last month?
Or? Yeah, a month and a half ago.
You have a public defender?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Mr. Weigel. He's great. He's a good public defender.
And what's your next court date?
October 13th. I better look. November 3rd.
8:30 a.m. in department. Yeah.
One.
Commissioner Joseph.
Yep.
What do you think of Commissioner Joseph, your old pal?
He can be good, he can be bad. A lot of times I think it's what side of the bed he got up on. Okay, you can tell when he's having a bad day, he's very rude, you know. But he can be fair too. So I've got a 50-50 on him.
We're talking with the notorious James, arrested at City Council in 2000, nay. For asking for his time at the Oral Communications, Mike?
Yes, that was it, yeah. Well, so, yeah, for speaking out, although actually it was everybody else that was yelling at the time. It wasn't even me yelling.
On the issue of the sleeping ban.
Yes.
I guess there's a...
They cut off Oral Communications 10 minutes early.
Okay. Under Mayor Sugar?
Yes, and he had, before the session, arranged to have me taken out by two officers.
You were actually held for what, an hour?
An hour or two in a little room with about 20
officers right next to the city council?
Yes, right next to and they made me sit and watch it. The cruel and unusual punishment. They made me watch that damn millionaire show. And you know, not one officer got a right answer.
Did you get any pizza out of the deal?
No, they ate it in front of me.
So this is an example of the kind of torture we're subject to here in this county. Not only do you get falsely arrested, but you have to watch absurd television shows, and then it's the smell of pizza without the taste.
That's it, yeah. Cruel and unusual punishment.
No. James, thank you, and good luck.
Yeah, I'll keep striding. I'm getting better now.
You know, we're getting real close to the end of the show. Here's a quick announcement. Now casting street theater roles for all types and genders, big and small. A Jiggle, a Juggle, the adventures of Tom Noodle, street entertainer in his battle with the city authorities, plus the WMD mystery, Weapons of Mass Destruction, or Wonderful, Mad, and Delicious. Wacky Street Productions in association with, is it Flirt and Revolution? Experienced director Nicholas Nutcracker Nick at 475-2012. It's a radio play, which Nick is putting on. Check him out at 475-2012 if you think you want to do some acting around that subject. Also coming up, Bill of Rights Defense Committee bulletin is that those people want to fight the Patriot Act. Might want to check out if you got the money and the whatever to get across the country. On October 18th and 19th, hundreds of grassroots activists and dozens of national organizations will converge at Silver Spring, Maryland Hilton. Oh, boy. for the Grassroots America Defends the Bill of Rights Conference. Be nice if somebody started defending the Bill of Rights in Santa Cruz. I guess that leaves a few of us here. We're going to keep working on it. You can get information by going to the Bill of Rights, Santa Cruz Bill of Rights Defense Committee's website. I think it's bordc.org, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe scbordc.org. What else we got here? San Jose, Rally for Compassion on Thursday, October 23rd at the State Building in San Jose. Wealthy corporations have received hundreds of billions of dollars of tax cuts. Schwarzenegger is the new Führer. Just as the hardening of Pharaoh's heart did not deter the Israelites, we cannot allow the cruel government policy to distract us from our vision. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All people are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable economic human rights. Among these are the right to housing, health care, education, and living wage jobs. These are the building blocks of the just society we seek, one built around love and cooperation instead of the law of the jungle. Time, 5 p.m. Thursday, October 23rd. Place, State Building, 100 Paseo de San Antonio on 2nd Street between San Carlos and San Fernando. That's done by the CHAM, the Community Homeless Alliance Ministry. And give a call to 423-HUFF if you've missed any of these numbers. Very interesting article, by the way, on Iraq, just to end up with, since we don't mention Iraq much after all. Why bother? We'll be mentioning Syria next, folks. Crime puts Iraqi women under house arrest. Suzanne Goldberg in Baghdad finds the city's female population crushed by the lawlessness under U.S. occupation. Amina is putting her beauty salon up for sale. She has recovered from the episode last June when armed men burst in and robbed her clients of cash and jewelry, and she has learned to live with the gunfights that erupt with regularity at the coffee shop next door. But within the space of a month, she says her teenage apprentice narrowly escaped abduction, a customer was held at gunpoint in another kidnapping attempt, and one of her regulars was dragged away by the hair and gang raped. Such is the pace of events in post-war Baghdad, where the U.S. occupation has ushered in an explosive rise in crime which has wreaked havoc on once genteel areas and driven women indoors. Amid the ordinary lawlessness of a city of 5 million with a barely functioning police force, there are particular horrors for women. The last few months have seen the emergence of organized crime, trafficking in drugs and stolen cars, and the evidence suggests in women as well. At the same time, Baghdad remains a city consumed by thoughts of revenge against Ba'athists at first and now increasingly against rival gangs. Many scores are settled by kidnapping and rape. The breakdown of law and order began with the departure of Saddam Hussein's regime and with it the brutal system of control that had made Baghdad a relatively safe city for its size. In Amina's neighborhood, the previously respectable coffee shop next door expanded and hired 4 prostitutes to sit in the back. The gangs soon started coming around, sometimes with their friends and the police, and Amina's customers left. No one is going to come here anymore, she says. There is no security, no safety. All my customers come to talk to me and ask me to move. Last week, she reached the breaking point. Armed thugs with a gang involved in prostitution tried to kidnap the apprentice on her first day at work and beat up Amina's husband and 2 other men who managed to save the girl. A day later, on September 29th, Nada, a prostitute who became one of Amina's regulars, was not so lucky. 4 men stormed into the coffee shop where she works and dragged her by the hair to a waiting car. Nada says they stopped the car once to grab another woman wearing a headscarf. They punched her in the face and shoved her in the car. They drove the woman to a riverside north of Baghdad and raped her. Raped them. They drove the women. There were several women. Nada believes her attackers wanted to punish her because she intervened to save a woman friend from a gang. Other women have been raped to avenge wrongs committed by men of the same clan or singled out for their own associations with the regime. Some have been abducted and sold into prostitution and trafficked where the price of a woman is about 60 pounds, according to the police. Still others were punished for offenses against Iraq's code of behavior for women. But Nada adds, do you think these gangs only kidnap girls like me? No, it's any girl on the street. It's not because of revenge or because I do the work I do. It's because they can do anything they want. And the story goes on. It's a longer story, but unfortunately my time is up. Interesting story if you want to check it out. It is from The Observer, I believe. The London Observer. October 11th, 2001. Crime puts Iraqi women under house arrest. Suzanne Goldberg is the writer of that story. In the studio with us is the notorious one-time cop watcher, Skidmark Bob. Skidmark, have you recovered from your ailment?
I'm getting there. I'm working on it.
Who is this person with you? What's your name?
Ooh,
it's the Monkey Man. All right, well, we're not going to talk to Mr. Monkey Man. He's going to talk to us anyway. Listen, thanks for being with us in this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Come on to the Huff meeting if you want. I see I failed to mention the damn city council meeting, which I was going to talk about. You want to give me 5 minutes or not?
5 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know.
You got 3 minutes.
That's true. I've been kind of creeping over.
Yep.
All right.
Quick.
All right, I got to go. All right, so I'm going to try to zip over. For those of you who want to know what's going on at our shitty council, They do have a meeting on Tuesday, day after tomorrow, and I'm going to kind of whip over to the appropriate website. So you can get some. You can do this yourself, and I'll kind of direct you to that website. We can possibly. Here we go. The official website of the Santa Cruz City Council is www.ci.santa-cruz.ca.us, or go to Google and look for Santa Cruz, City of Santa Cruz. Coming up on the next agenda, next meeting. Here we are on the 14th. You can get to that pretty quickly. As I mentioned before, there are three sessions. The first one's the closed session. It's important if you've got something on the closed agenda, but you probably don't. 3 o'clock is the afternoon session. 7 o'clock is the evening session. MHC is going to be on a closed agenda again. Apparently, they're going to continue to talk about that, the De Anza thing. For those who want to come to the noon session, all you De Anza protesters, roll your wheelchairs down there. There's going to be a presentation, a police department presentation by Chief of Police, I thought he was gone, Steve Belcher, regarding the results of the study to analyze traffic stop data in Santa Cruz County. That sounds like racial profiling, in other words. That's right up your line, Bob. We know there's no racial profiling here in Santa Cruz. Bob is rolling his eyes. Moving right along, we've got budget reductions, item 3 on the consent agenda. If you want to look at social service programs being cut, there's a particular item there. Bicycle transportation is item 5. All these are pretty much consent agenda items, which usually roll through unless you pull them off the agenda. Looking over pretty quickly, don't see a lot here. There are final ordinances for reading, which I'm not too familiar with, and so I will skip over them. There is, however, also they're going to be introducing the resolution that I asked them to bring up last time, or at least to give people an opportunity to talk about briefly, which has to do with extending the lease time for, I guess it's the Clearview Court. That's item 23 on the afternoon agenda for anybody who's interested. Beach Street Bikeway is also on the agenda in the afternoon. In the evening, Highway 1, and that's pretty much it. Looks pretty fast. Not a very exciting agenda, which allows me to get off the hook with Uncle Bob here. Call me at the Huff line if you want more information or phone numbers you've missed, 423-HUFF. Come into the Huff meeting at 8:30 in the morning. Come on, you can do it, everybody. Get up and come to Baker Square at 1107 Ocean and ponder these last final words of advice from Uncle Bob.
Well, thanks, Robert. Stay tuned for more news from the Middle East in just a few moments, as soon as I can get online here in 96.3. This is Bob Azula from Turkey.